of us have struggled with our body image and the way that we see ourselves. But what happens when it's something that really is beginning to take over your life and becoming an obsession or a compulsion, and it's not based on actually any physical changes that you need to make? We're talking about body dysmorphia disorder. It's more common than eating disorders. Yet people seem to be pretty unaware of how dangerous it can be, or even really how to define it. So we're going to get into it right now with communication faculty member of Colorado State University Global, Dr. Eva Fisher. Dr. Fisher, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you for having me.
I think this is something that's really important to cover because some people don't even know that this exists. And yet, more than likely, most of us have at least experienced at least a taste of this, at least a little bit of this experience, when you think that maybe there's something wrong with you or something that you need to change, and those feelings are actually baseless. Can you define for us what exactly is body dysmorphia disorder?
Well, thanks, Chelsea, and thanks for wanting to bring this really important issue to your listeners. The term is actually body dysmorphic disorder. However, it is confused a lot with the term body dysmorphia. Body dysmorphia is a more general term, which simply means that someone doesn't like or is uncomfortable with some part of their body. And it doesn't necessarily mean somebody has to have a mental health disorder to have body dysmorphia. However, eating disorders like anorexia, bulimia, and then body dysmorphic disorder are actually classified as mental health disorders in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health that psychiatrists and psychologists use.
So explain what it would feel like to have body dysmorphic disorder. What would some of the symptoms be? What would someone experience?
Well, body dysmorphic disorder, I like to explain, it is on the OCD spectrum, sorry, the obsessive compulsive disorder spectrum, because of the obsessions and compulsions that people have about their appearance. It affects men and women almost equally. That makes it more similar to OCD in terms of the populations it affects. It also affects a greater number, a percentage of adults than OCD or eating disorders individually, like bulimia and anorexia. It affects about 2-3% of the population of men and women. And as I said, it affects them almost equally. Eating disorders affect primarily women, although, of course, some men also suffer from them. And muscle dysmorphia, which is basically when men feel like they're too small and they actually have a lot of muscles, is kind of also considered on the BDD spectrum as an kind of a cross between OCD and eating disorders. So body dysmorphic disorder is really, whereas someone with an eating disorder might look in the mirror and, you know, especially with anorexia, they might see their underweight body as really fat. People with BDD will look in the mirror and instead of seeing the normal or attractive looking person that their friends and family see, they see someone who's ugly or disfigured or feel that some body part is really disfigured and horrific. And so they use terms like monstrous and ugly and really harsh language to describe their appearance when their friends and family don't really see them that way at all, because that's not how they objectively look.
Is it a bit of a spectrum? Because I wonder if someone is just really unhappy with the way that they look, and maybe they just imagine that they're bigger than they are, or their body shape isn't as ideal as perhaps they want it to be, and for whatever reason. Would that be classified as some type of body dysmorphia?
Well, again, that might be body dysmorphia, which is not the same as body dysmorphic disorder.
Okay.
Body dysmorphic disorder is an actual mental health disorder. And although it can be focused on body shape and size, it's more often focused on some specific body part, such as, you know, it can range. I mean, just name it. I mean, teeth, hair, nails. For me, it was my nose. It can be chin. It can be size of one's head, shape of one's head. It can be, nails. It can be just pretty much name a body part, and someone can be obsessed about it.
So how does then it transition, or could it transition from body dysmorphia to body dysmorphic disorder? How does someone sort of fall from one to the next?
Great question. There are a couple of ways that someone can either be diagnosed or self-diagnose themselves. It is, as I said, a clinical diagnosis that a psychiatrist and or psychologist would render with a patient using actual classification, such as in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which I'll call the DSM-5 going forward. But also, it's pretty easy to self-diagnose. I self-diagnosed myself, and there are self-diagnostic tests on different websites, including the International OCD Foundation and the BDD Foundation in the United Kingdom. It's the obsessive thoughts really have to do with, you know, feeling ugly, feeling disfigured, feeling that there's some body part that just, again, you get so obsessed with it that it leads to specific behaviors, compulsive behaviors such as staring in the mirror, mirror checking is what it's called. I basically would stare at my skin and my nose in the mirror for more than 8 hours a day. Well, wow. I would think about it for more than 8 hours a day. I would generally probably spend about an hour morning and evening just kind of staring and picking at my skin. So it really, when it becomes something that can cause a lot of emotional suffering, some people even get suicidal. Unfortunately, a high percentage, about a quarter, think about committing suicide because of this disorder. So again, it's really distress and the distress. A lot of times people become socially isolated, so they don't go out to social events because they just feel so much shame about specific parts of their body, or they feel that people will be staring at this part of their body and rejecting them because of it. So again, this is something that goes beyond just normal, I'm having a bad hair day, or, you know, my skin doesn't look great today, or I have a few wrinkles. This is really, you know, thoughts and feelings that get the core of how somebody feels they are as a person. That
yeah,
people will reject them.
It's
because
so,
of, you know, this seemed perceived defect.
And I think that perceived defect is just, it's such an interesting example of how our minds can just trap us in these patterns that can be so debilitating. I am so sorry that you experienced that. I mean, that what you're describing is truly debilitating, and you can see how it would be a slope that could lead somebody into a really dark place. There are people on the text line right now as we're having this conversation, Dr. Fisher, that relate. This person says, I lost 120 pounds. I put on about 30 or 40 pounds of muscle over the last 4 years, and I definitely have body dysmorphia. I've never had anybody, any body issues whatsoever until I lost all the weight, and now I see myself in the mirror as a fat guy. Everyone tells me I'm skinny. I know exactly what your guest is talking about. So people relate to this, and I think that, I wonder if this is something that's becoming more prevalent or that's increasing with the sort of manufactured images that we see of people and the sort of perfect ideal that continues to be portrayed online. So I want to get to that. I'm going to keep you on hold for just a couple of minutes, Dr. Fisher. We're going to come right back to this conversation talking about body dysmorphia and body dysmorphic disorder and what exactly that is. Chelsea on Chad continues right after this. Welcome back to the show, talking about body dysmorphia and body dysmorphic disorder with communication faculty member at Colorado State University, Dr. Eva Fisher. Dr. Fisher, thanks so much for sticking around on hold. I want to know your thoughts on whether or not social media or just the current way that we live our life is causing an increase or more prevalence when it comes to body dysmorphia.
Well, thanks again, Chelsea, for having me. I really appreciate it. I would say, again, if we're talking about body dysmorphia, which is just a general dislike of, you know, or uncomfortableness with parts of one's body or one's body overall, then probably that's not necessarily something I studied for my dissertation, but certainly I know I stay off Instagram. I do have a Facebook page. I do have a LinkedIn page, but I really stay away from any, you know, social media that's too image-driven. Of course, back in my day when I self-diagnosed, my big thing was comparing myself to models and fashion magazines because that was the main form of media back then. However, if we're talking about the mental health disorder known as body dysmorphic disorder, there's been recorded cases since the 1800s. So this is something that's both an environmental, can be caused environmentally or developed, so caused by one's social, you know, culture. It can also be developmental, meaning through bullying, through being put down, perfectionism. There are personality traits that go along with this, such as perfectionism, introversion, hypersensitivity to criticism. But there are also neurobiological causes that, with the way somebody's frontal cortex works, that's why medications such as SSRIs can be helpful for people with this disorder, because there's also brain dysregulation and dysfunction in people with this disorder. So there's really, no one knows what the exact cause is, but there's probably multiple causes for this.
I'm wondering if you can address a question that has been recurring on the text line as we're having this conversation. Maybe it's not fair to ask you this because it's not necessarily your area of study, but there are a lot of people that are asking about the difference between body dysmorphia and gender dysmorphia. Someone's saying, how is gender dysmorphia different? And why is the prevailing narrative to affirm gender dysmorphia, but to confront body dysmorphia? Can you speak to that?
Well, it's interesting, and I don't know if I can speak to that last question, but again, gender dysmorphia is in the DSM-5, and it's basically, a lot of times it's equated with being transsexual, but in this case, body dysmorphia just simply means that one is uncomfortable, gender dysmorphia means one's uncomfortable in terms of the sex that one was born with. So being uncomfortable in one's body, but for kind of that biological sexual identity reason.
Sure. Okay. Appreciate you confronting that. Dr. Fisher, thank you so much for making the time and for having this conversation. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I also want to point out, like I said, there's more information about diagnosis and treatment on the International OCD Foundation BDD site and the BDD Foundation in the United Kingdom. There's a lot of good information, and I also want to confirm for people that this is a treatable and, this is a diagnosable and treatable condition, and there are cognitive behavioral therapy techniques as well as, I said, medications like SSRIs that can really help people overcome body dysmorphic disorder, or BDD as it's known.
Great to know. Thank you so much, Dr. Fisher. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time today.
Take care. That's Dr. Eva Fisher, communication faculty member at Colorado State University, talking about body dysmorphia and body dysmorphic disorder and clarifying it.